Good morning. Thank the Lord for the opportunity to be here again this morning. I have a few thoughts that the Lord's been talking to me about this week. We just had Thanksgiving, and I thought, well, maybe the Lord will give me a message about Thanksgiving and how important it is to be thankful and all that. And so when I went to study, my thoughts kind of went that direction and started thinking about it, and the Lord directed my attention somewhere else. Let me know that that's not what He wanted me to do. So He gave me some other thoughts. Like to go to 2 Corinthians 7. We'll start at the first verse. The second verse is really one I want to get to, but we'll catch the first one on the way there. This is Paul speaking. He said, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The promises that he's referring to, if you look back in the 6th chapter of 2 Corinthians, God was saying, don't have fellowship with unrighteousness, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You're going to be to me sons and daughters, I'll be your God, you'll be my people, you'll find all that in the previous chapter. So he promised, as we heard about in the Sunday school, that he would be with us. And that's something that is really, it's crucial in life that the Lord go with us and be with us and lead us. I was thinking about in the Sunday school, we were talking about the pillar of fire and the pillar of cloud. And there's actually a scripture in Isaiah 4, I think, that talks about the gospel day and how there would still be a pillar of fire and still be a pillar of cloud to continually lead us everywhere. And so the Lord said, I'll do that. I'll receive you. I'll be you to you, God. I want you to be to me. I want you to be to me a people. And so then Paul said in the 7th chapter in the first verse, having therefore these promises, since we have these promises, and since the Lord said, if you won't touch the unclean things, I'll receive you. He said, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. So I think that sometimes we can get a hold of this scripture, and scriptures like it, and we can busy ourselves, and it's good to do these things, but we can busy ourselves with making sure that certain things are done correctly. You know, we want to make sure that things don't come out of our mouth that shouldn't come out of our mouth, and things we're not don't go places we shouldn't go and listen to things we shouldn't listen to and all that. You know, there's a really important aspect of holiness that I'd like to talk about by the help of the Lord this morning. Then Paul said in the second verse, receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. Now, what do you think would have happened if Paul would have gone to all of these places, and while he was there, he departed having gotten rich off of every last one of them? Gone there, and maybe he might forget his anointing oil, might forget his Bible, but we're sure not going to forget the offering box. Go there and preach to the people and make sure that there's plenty of opportunity for people to give money, plenty of opportunity for people to lift him up and honor him. And so he departs kind of sort of like a god to them. Do you know that it is real easy for anybody that's serving the Lord, that's imparting the gospel, that's any, if they're not a pulpit minister or anything, if you know something about the Bible and you help somebody else, you know what the temptation is? To kind of be over them in a sense. To, you know, I've got truth, you need to listen to me, and then you can take, heap a little honor to yourself, heap a little glory to yourself. You develop a reputation, you glory in it. Those are just human temptations. May the Lord help us. But Paul said, we have wronged no man, we have corrupted no man, we have defrauded no man. Samuel said something really similar to that. Near the end of his tenure there as prophet in Israel, he gathered Israel together. It was right after he had made them a king. In 1 Samuel 12, it said, Samuel said unto all Israel, behold, I have hearkened unto your voice in all that you said unto me, and have made a king over you. In the third verse, he said, behold, here I am. Witness against me before the Lord and before his anointed. Whose ox have I taken? Or whose ass have I taken? Or whom have I defrauded? Whom have I oppressed? Or whose hand have I received any bribe to blind mine eyes therewith? And I will restore it to you. You know, that would be pretty hard, I think, for some people today to be able to stand up. I think about the people I do business with. I do business with a lot. It's amazing to me. I do business, almost everyone that I do business with wouldn't dare to get up and make a statement like this. Because they'd have people coming out of the woodwork all over the place that had legitimate complaints about, you know, this, he beat me in this deal, and he, boy, he was sharp here. We drove a bargain, and I was in a corner, and he took advantage of it. And it would be true. The things that I have seen in business, being in business, places where people have shorted somebody just a little bit and cheated just a little bit over here and cooked the books over here, whether it's to their customers or to the IRS or to the employers or whoever, or their employees, or whoever it is, there are a lot of, you know, that I've been surprised here in America. I don't know how it is in the rest of the world. I suspect it's mostly the same way, because the human tendency is to be that way. It's to be dishonest. It's to look out for number one and to make sharp deals and sure deals and all that. Do you know that the gospel of Jesus Christ is not separate from when we go out and do business? When we go home from church, we don't leave the gospel at church. We take it home with us, and it goes with us to our workplace, and it goes with us to garage sales, and it goes with us to the restaurant, and it goes with us everywhere that we go. And those principles are supposed to stick with us, and we're supposed to follow. And Samuel, he called all these people together, and he said, look, I've been a prophet a long time. I've been among you. I've gone and preached to you. I've shown you how to live. I've been a judge. I've done all this stuff. You tell me, I want you to, you come again. Anybody that I've beat in a deal, anybody that I've shorted a little bit, I want you to come and tell me. And they said, thou hast not defrauded us. I don't think he was just bragging. I don't think that was the purpose of it. You know, I think by reading into it, you look at this and you think, well, what would be the purpose of getting up and doing it? To tout your own goodness? That's not the kind of man Samuel was. Samuel was not one to blow his own horn. I believe that Samuel was, he said, and I will restore it to you. You tell me any place. You know, I think that he was up there and I think that he knew that his conscience was clean, but I wonder if he also thought, you know, I wonder if anybody has the perception that I've done him wrong, because I want to be clear in the eyes of God, and I want to be clear in the eyes of mankind. I want to be clear in everyone. I don't want to be a reproach to God because I bear His name. And that's the thought that I really want to get a hold of this morning, is that we're ambassadors. When we go out and we mix with other people, we are ambassadors for Jesus Christ and for Almighty God. And we bear His name, just like we carry a flag with us when we go. We carry a flag, so to speak. We carry a flag with us that has the name of Jesus Christ and God written on it. And it means I'm carrying the news of who He is. I'm carrying who He is with me. And when we reach out to other people, we're bearing the Lord's name. So I want to look at that a little bit this morning. They said, "Thou hast not defrauded us, nor oppressed us, neither hast thou taken aught of any man's hand." And He said unto them, "The Lord is witness against you, and His anointed is witness this day." The king is witness this day that ye have not found aught in my hand. And they answered, "He is witness." There's a scripture in Romans. Let's go to Romans 13 and 8. Romans 13 and 8 says, "Owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law." And Jesus, this reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 12. He said, "Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them." Isn't that one of the first principles that you learn in Sunday school? When I was a boy, Mom made these hearts and she laminated them. I remember in the mobile home there that we had in Guthrie, Mom made these hearts out of paper, and then she ran them through a laminator or got laminating stock or whatever and put it in there. And one of them said, it either said, "Do unto others as you would have others do unto you." I think that's what it said. I don't think it quoted this exactly, but that's the principle. It was one of the first things that my mom taught me, and I had it hanging there in my room. You know, I'm thinking this can go many different ways. You know what it is in your own life. You know, when we deal with others, we can think, well, how should I treat, what's okay to do, and what can I do? You know, this is the principle that should guide everything that we do. All things whatsoever you would that men should do to you. And if you're thinking, you know, I wonder if I can do this or not, ask yourself, if this was reversed, would I want them to do this to me? That's the principle. You know, I work in cabinets for a living. I install cabinets, as you all know. And I'll just tell you an example of what the Lord talked to me about. When I first started installing cabinets, the cabinets, we would pull out cabinets that were sometimes really nice. And at first, I would take my trailer and they would pay us to haul them off. We would haul the old cabinets off and we'd install the new cabinets. And I would take the old cabinets and sell them. And, you know, get some extra money for them. And one day the thought came to me, you know, I wonder if the people that had the old cabinets realize what they're worth. And I thought, anyway, it bothered me. And so you know what I started doing? Whenever I haul away cabinets, I ask them, okay, do you want me to haul off your cabinets? And if they say yes, I'll say, okay, these cabinets are, I could probably sell these for this much. And if I take them away, that's probably what I'm going to do. This is about how much you could get for them. And I've had a lot of them say, are you serious? I didn't know that. And they didn't know. They had no idea. But you know, when the scripture says, owe no man anything, I believe it's talking about many different things. I've heard that scripture taken and said, okay, that means you shouldn't go get a loan. But that, if you take it and you interpret it like that, you miss something that's a whole lot deeper. I don't want to owe, the scripture says to owe no man anything. You know, that could mean an apology. That could mean that I have something of theirs that should belong to them, but by craftiness, I have it now in my possession. You know, they slipped up there. They had something at the store. They had it a little bit, you know, mislabeled. And boy, I cleaned up. I cleaned house on them. That worked out for me. You know, I instead of $99, I got it for 99 cents. I want to tell you something. I am not trying to stand up here this morning and tell you what you have to do in every situation, but I'm reading principles from the scripture here. The principle is, therefore, all men, all things, whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Owe no man anything, but to love one another. You know, that includes the people we do business with. It includes the people we buy from and the people we sell to. It includes the people that we do work for. There are things, you know, in my line of work. And back to the cabinets. Sometimes people will say, I've had several people say, you know what? I don't want anything to do with those cabinets. I don't care what you can get for them. Haul them away. I don't ever want to see them again. And then I've had some people say, there was a kitchen a while back that was worth, the old kitchen was worth quite a bit of money. And I told the lady, hey, these are, and she ended up selling them. And she got a lot of money for them. And so it was something that, you know, I didn't end up going home with that. I didn't go home, I didn't have the money. But you know what I had? I had a clean conscience about it. And that was worth a whole lot more to me. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And so, just whenever you're doing things, whenever you're in business and at the store, at a restaurant or whatever, I had a situation a while back where somebody, there was, I was in a business, and one of the employees, I was buying something from this business, and one of the employees did something that they shouldn't have done. And they tried to kind of pull a fast one on me. And it gave me a little bit of trouble. And it wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, they gave me 2 minutes worth of trouble, and it was done, and they didn't succeed, and got my stuff and everything, and I had somebody tell me, you know what, you could really get something good here. You need to call the company, tell them what's going on, and you can get this and this and this. You know what? If I was running that business, I would appreciate it if the people told me about my employee. But I would also appreciate it if my customers were merciful and said, you know what, I'm not trying to soak you guys. I just want you to know about who you've got working for you. And anyway, so I'm just going to put that out there. You do with it what the Lord tells you to do. And there are personality differences also. You could say, well, I don't think that, I'm going to do this because I would want this done. This is what I would want done to me. So I'm going to do this. Lord, help me to be able to explain this. I'm not sure how to really explain this good. If you know that somebody is made different than you, is personality-wise or whatever, if somebody's different, and you do something that you say, well, that they like, and you say, well, this is what I would want done to me. But you know that if you were in their shoes and you had their personality and you had their situation, you really wouldn't want that. We just need to be fair in what we do, all right? So I'm just going to leave that there. Now, let's go down to Jeremiah, the 22nd chapter. This is spoken to some of the last kings that ruled in Judah. Jehoahaz and then his brother Jehoiakim. Thus saith the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word. And say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, that sittest upon the throne of David, thou and thy servants and thy people that enter in by these gates. Thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoiled out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong, do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place. For if ye do this thing indeed, then shall there enter in by the gates of this house kings sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, he and his servants and his people. So he was telling these things. And if we go down to the 13th verse, it says, woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong, that useth his neighbor's service without wages and giveth him not for his work, that saith, I will build me a wide house and large chambers, and cutteth him out windows, and it is sealed with cedar and painted with vermilion. Shalt thou reign because thou closest thyself in cedar? Did not thy father eat and drink and do judgment and justice, and then it was well with him? These were sons of Josiah. And Josiah was a very godly man, and he really feared the Lord, and everything that he did was to serve the Lord with all of his heart. And the Lord was saying, did I forsake your father? Did he die in abject poverty? Did he starve to death? He said, I took care of him. He had a good life. And he executed judgment and justice. He didn't cheat anybody. He didn't wrong anybody. He didn't defraud anybody. But he said, woe unto him that buildeth his house by unrighteousness and his chambers by wrong. I want to tell you, let's see. I'm going to read a couple more verses. He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well with him. Was not this to know me, saith the Lord? You know, we heard about in the Sunday school, if we will go with the Lord, if the Lord will go with us, then that's where the blessing is. That's where we're going to be successful. That's where we're going to have the knowledge we need. That's where we're going to know which way to go. That's where the Lord will provide for us what we need. But you know, when we go and... I purposed in my heart a while back, no matter what happens, going back to the first scripture that we read, it says, receive us. We have defrauded no man. We have corrupted no man. I think that's what we have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. And I have determined that whatever happens in everything that I do, in every facet of life, I am not going to wrong anyone. I don't want my account to start getting deficient because I owe somebody here and I owe somebody here. Whether it's money or things that I need to say, things I need to make right, whatever it is, I want to go through life with a clean slate. a clean conscience, not only before the Lord, but before men. Why? Why is it so important? I'm going to read in 2 Samuel 12. So this is after David had done the horrible thing that he did with Bathsheba. And he didn't just commit adultery, but he really wronged Uriah. And I'm guessing that the damage went a long ways beyond that also. It implies that right here in this chapter. Listen to what Nathan told David. He came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb which he had bought and nourished up. And it grew up together with him and his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him. But took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was coming to him. And David, of course, David got really upset and said, this guy's going to die. But before he dies, he's going to restore the lamb fourfold. And anyway, he said he didn't have pity. He's a horrible person. And Nathan said, thou art the man. Because the Lord said, I blessed you. I gave you everything your heart desired. And then your heart longed for something that was out of the will of God. And you reached out and took it. And in doing so, you severely wronged this other man. That was one of my servants. It was one of my children. In the 14th verse, listen to what he said. David repented and he said, and Nathan said, the Lord's put away your sin. You shall not die. He said, howbeit, in the 14th verse, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. The child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. So now we have another factor. You know, David was one that they called him the sweet psalmist of Israel. He was the champion of... He went forth bearing the name of the Lord. He was the standard bearer. The king was supposed to write the law, all the books of the law by hand. He was supposed to know the law. He was supposed to execute the law. He was supposed to have righteous judgment because people, they didn't have the old judge system in Israel anymore. People that had the grievances, they would come to him. That's what the two women came with the baby to Solomon, because they needed some righteous judgment. And Solomon gave it to them. And David was to bear the name of the Lord. And Nathan said, you have dragged the name of the Lord in the dirt. You have caused other... You know what it means to blaspheme? To besmirch the character of the Lord, to despise, to reject, to consider it to be nothing, to think of it as something that's worthless and bad instead of what it really is. That's what this word blaspheme here means. And so, remember when the Lord appeared to Moses? In Exodus 34, I'll just go ahead and read it. It said, and the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth. You know, keeping mercy for thousands, you know, the Lord, this is who the Lord is. He's gracious. He said, he told the children of Israel in Exodus, he said, if you take your neighbor's coat to pledge, you've got to give it back to him before the sun goes down, whether he brings you the fulfillment of that or not. You've got to give it to him before the sun goes down. Because that's what it said, because that's his covering. It is his raiment for his skin. Wherein shall he sleep? He's going to get cold. And it shall come to pass when he crieth unto me that I will hear. For I am gracious. Do you know the Lord is gracious? Do you know the Lord cares about all of his children? You can look at all the evil going on in the world and kind of get desensitized to it and kind of callous to where you think, well, that's life. That just happens. But you know the Lord wants us to bear his name. And when we deal with other people, it's not just a New Testament concept, although the New Testament carries it to a much greater extent. He said, I am gracious. Do you know that if we talk about living a holy life before others, and we talk about putting away the filthiness of the flesh, and we talk about being an example and outreaching. We need more of that, don't we? We need to, for the community around here to know about God. But it's not enough for us to just go to people and say, you're going to get saved or what? We need to bear the name of the Lord. It involves more than just holding out the gospel to them and saying, you're going to go to hell if you don't accept this. They're going to look at the way that we do business among them, the way that we treat them, the way whether we have time to talk to them or not. I was on a kitchen just this week, and I didn't know what kind of guy he was. I knew he had signs up in his house that had Bible scriptures on them. But you know, we did the job, and the job ran long. And you know, I could have cut a bunch of corners and made the job go a whole lot faster. And the Lord helped me to be able to say, no, I'm not going to. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do it right. And so I got the job done. And when I was just about done, I thought, well, if I leave right now, I can be home in time to take a shower and eat supper and go to church. It's Wednesday night. And the customer wanted to talk about God. And he had some questions about some scriptures. And you know, I sat there and I talked to him for a long time about the Bible and about God. Do you know that if I would have slopped that job together and just cut corners here and there and he noticed it, you know, it would have been a whole lot harder for me to talk to him about how to really live for God. Those things matter in our lives when we do business. I've wanted to ask people before. There's been people before that have told me about what they did, how they got an advantage in life here or there. And I wanted to look at them and say, so did you invite them to church? Because I knew what the answer would be. No, of course they didn't invite them to church. Nobody would want to go to their church if everybody was like that. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I'm not trying to make anybody feel bad here. But whenever we do something, you know, do you... love is the fulfilling of the law. If I'm installing a kitchen for somebody, I want them to have a nice kitchen. I want them to get their money's worth. I want them to enjoy it. I don't want to walk out the door and it break 3 weeks later. I want them to succeed. They paid for it. They paid thousands of dollars for this kitchen. I want them to succeed in it. When I go and I buy something from a business, that business is there to make a profit. Otherwise, they wouldn't be in business. I want them to make their profit. I want the restaurants to make their profit. I want them to go home. I want the waiter or the waitress that's there that may have some children at home and maybe a single mom or whatever struggling to make ends meet. I want them I want them to have a good taste in their mouth about how I dealt with them. All right? May the Lord help us. It goes in all kinds of directions here. I'd like to read a couple more scriptures here, and then we'll be done. But going to Amos. Amos is a book where it was one of the last, I think it was one of the last, well, no. Anyway, I don't remember, but Amos was pleading with the people to return to God. I love the book of Amos. But he had some really strong words for him. He said in Amos 5 and 21 to children of Israel here. I don't remember if this was Israel or Judah. He said, I despise your feast days, and I will not smell in your solemn assemblies. Why? Why did he say that? Was it that they were cutting up the cow wrong? No, that's not what it was. Were they setting up their tabernacles and their booths wrong? You know, the Lord instituted those feasts. And he instituted the days, the holy days and all that. He said, though you offer me burnt offerings and your meat offerings, I will not accept them. Neither will I regard the peace offerings of your fat beasts. Take thou away from me the noise of thy songs, for I will not hear the melody of thy viols. Did he not want them to sing? Did he not want them to play the instruments? You know, we can look at these things and we can get distracted from the real message of what the Lord had. He said, but let judgment run down as waters and righteousness as a mighty stream. This is what he was trying to get across to them. He said in 8 and 4, hear this, O ye that swallow up the needy, even to make the poor of the land to fail, saying, when will the new moon be gone that we may sell corn, and the Sabbath that we may set forth wheat, making the ephah small and the shekel great, and falsifying the balances by deceit, that we may buy the poor for silver and the needy for a pair of shoes, yea, and sell the refuse of the wheat. The Lord hath sworn by the excellency of Jacob, surely I will never forget any of their works. You know, I think of, in history, we have people that have not been really connected to God have done all kinds of atrocities throughout history. You can go back in our own history. Here in America, we made a Declaration of Independence. We said all men are created equal in there. And I believe there's a poem carved at the base of the Statue of Liberty that says, give me your tired and your poor. I don't know the whole poem, but I looked it up. And yet, through all that, we have the awful blight of racism that we had here in America. In 1965, drinking fountains and things like that were still segregated in 1965. Housing laws and things like that. You can look some of this stuff up. And, you know, it wasn't just toward one race, but there were different groups in America that were taken advantage of by people that were able to do it. And because they were in this position and other people were in this position that was a less advantageous position, the people that should have let righteousness and judgment and justice flow as a mighty stream used it to take advantage of these other people. Happened to many different groups in the United States, and it's happened all over the world in history. I can't tell you what the answer to all those problems is. I can't tell you, except it's the gospel. I can tell you that. But in your own life, I don't know all of the answers. I've thought, and some of the answers I've said, you know what? I don't know what I ought to do here. But here's what I do know. I'm not going to defraud anyone. I'm not going to wrong anyone. I'm not going to be a part of a system, any kind of a system that cheats people or anything like that. I understand that the way that people do business is a lot of times primarily motivated by greed. I'm not going to be that way in my own business. I'm going to incorporate the gospel into my business. When I bid my jobs, I'm going to bid them fairly. When I execute the jobs, I'm going to execute them to where they get their money's worth. And that's how I'm going to live my life, by the help of the Lord. Now, I'd like to read one more scripture in 2 Corinthians 9. I think I read this church the other night, but we'll read it again. 2 Corinthians 9 and 6. It says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. For God loveth a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye having all sufficiency in all things may abound to every good work. As it is written, he hath dispersed abroad, he hath given to the poor, his righteousness remaineth forever. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, and multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness." And I think of that, and I tie that in with the verse, "But let judgment run down as waters, and righteousness as a mighty stream." You know, whenever we interact with others, the Lord does not want us as, I will say, as the world does, to interact with others to see how we can walk away benefited a little bit. I'm gonna get a little here, and I'm gonna benefit a little here, and I'm gonna work my way up here. You know, there's nothing wrong with bettering our lives. There's nothing wrong with being involved in business, but we don't separate the gospel from our business. All right. So, however that is to you, that's how the Lord. I'll leave that with you today. But the Lord wants us, instead of getting something at the expense of somebody here and somebody else lost a little here because I was a little bit quicker. Listen, I want to tell you that the opportunities to gain a little here at somebody else's expense and a little over there are endless. Okay? It's easy to do. In my own business, where I do my business, I can cheat the customers and the people that I'm working for nearly on a daily basis, and I'd probably get away with it every time. It's so easy. And I see it done in the line of work that I'm in and in other lines of work that I've been in. It's just a day-to-day thing. I have an opportunity, so I'm going to grab a little here, grab a little there, grab a little here. And may the Lord help us to know what is okay and what we shouldn't do and all that. But this scripture that I just read, instead of getting a little and taking a little, here's how it works. We get our blessing from the Lord, and it bubbles up inside of us. And instead of things flowing in our direction, things flow out of us. Kindnesses and mercy and graciousness. You know why? Because the Lord's that way, and we're bearing His name. We bear the standard of the Lord. We carry the flag of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord, when He walked by Moses, He proclaimed, "This is who I am. I am merciful and I am gracious." And when we go to other people and we tell and we say, "You know what? You need to come to the Lord because the Lord's merciful and the Lord's gracious." And then at the same time, we're reaching our hand into their pocket, so to speak. And we're doing this. We're taking advantage of him there, of them there. It's not a good witness for the Lord. So I would like to challenge us all to let the Lord be your gain. Let the Lord be your sufficiency. Let the Lord be your blessing, And he wants us to have things flowing out of our lives to other people. Some people we may give money to. Some people we may give time to. Some people we may just have to go and comfort. Some people we'll have to apologize to. Some people we're going to have to just be there for them. But the Lord wants us to be a source of blessing for others. I hope this is a challenge and a blessing to you this morning. May the Lord help us. I want the Lord to help me to always do this too. I've struggled in this area, and the Lord has been helping me and taught me a lot of things about it. You pray for me.